name is Barry Allen. I am the fastest man alive.
RandomChatter.com presents a Flash podcast.
You see that red blur?
Dedicated to the discussion of the Flash television series.
A lot to discuss.
Scarlet Velocity.
Welcome to Scarlet Velocity, a Flash podcast. Thanks for slowing down for a moment. I'm your host, Josh.
And I'm Leonard Snart. I'm just here helping you out. You know, who doesn't like a thank you?
Thank you?
There you go. Very nice.
Don't shoot my face. All right, you've discovered the number one podcast dedicated to the CW television show, The Flash, with discussion and commentary on the various episodes. So, my bad guy friend, my friend. Please, put the gun down.
My sister's Snart, a bad guy.
Your sister's a bad guy? Ooh, she's a hot guy. Jay, we'll call you Jay to alleviate any confusion. You are going to tell us a little bit about this week's penultimate episode of the season one of The Flash, which to me didn't even feel like a penultimate episode. It felt like an ultimate episode.
I will be interested to see what a season finale on The Flash looks like, because I feel like we've talked about for a couple weeks here. Like, we've seen season finales already. So,
Totally agreed. And I have, you know, we'll discuss some of the things that I've kind of heard about this particular episode, some criticisms that I don't necessarily share.
Because I didn't really look up criticisms for this one. There was another show this week that I heard a lot of criticisms on, but it wasn't this one.
Yes. But it was some minor things, but we'll talk about that this week. First of all, let's figure out what we are talking about.
We are talking about the 22nd episode of the first season. I thought this originally was going to be the last episode of the season, but they actually decided to do 23 for their order. So we do get one more. This is called Rogue Air, very strange title, and it aired originally on May 12th, 2015, written by the brother writing team of Aaron and Todd Helbing, and directed by Doug Arniakowski. So, in this week's episode, Flash is running out of time. After 2 weeks, they finally discover Wells has been hiding under their nose, behind their back, the whole time. And he's been working to reactivate the particle accelerator in the process. So Barry and the team have to find a way to move all the prisoners to Lian Yu, the prison island that Oliver Queen keeps his most dangerous foes, and Captain Boomerang. But they're going to need help of someone cunning.
You don't put Captain Boomerang in the most dangerous foes category?
No, not Oliver Queen's most dangerous foes. Dude, I mean,
okay.
All right. But they're going to need the help of someone cunning, smart, skilled, and, well, cold. So Captain Cold and his sister help get the prisoners through the city to be transported, only to betray Barry by letting them all escape. Well, mostly all escape. Dealing with a whole gang of super criminals is hard enough, and it gets even harder when Wells returns to Star Lab to use his newly powered accelerator. For what? We don't know. But this time, Barry has some help. The Arrow himself joins in the fight, along with Firestorm. They may have overpowered Harrison Wells for now, but what is his ultimate goal? If you want to find out, you're going to have to put that bunny back in the box.
I said, put the bunny back in the box.
That's right. That's exactly what I said.
Yes, it is. All right. Well, I trust that you are a man of your word, and you definitely want me to do that, or I'm going to be in trouble. So I think I'll just take care of that bunny right now. But let me tell you about some pretty cool news that we've heard this week before we talk about this episode.
Okay.
This is all really good news. I like this.
Everything here is awesome. The news just gets better and better and better, I think.
It does. Now I'm sure everybody listening is aware that the CW is a much smaller network than the big four. I guess that's the big four now, right?
With Fox.
ABC,
yeah.
CBS, yeah,
NBC
and
Fox.
Sometimes maybe NBC doesn't land in that category these days. But anyway, so
good.
They did, didn't they? Anyway, they don't have as big of a budget, and they don't have as many shows on, and so quite frequently, even their top rated shows rank lower than the main than the shows on the main networks, I guess.
Yeah.
However, this week's Flash did edge out another show on ABC, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
That was also
a finale.
Well, that was a finale, and Flash wasn't. So,
You're right. So that was the finale of S.H.I.E.L.D., right? And Flash was not. So, and I got to say, having watched the finale of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., it was a phenomenal episode. So, that's some pretty impressive ratings for a CW show.
So that means a lot of people watched Flash, and then turned off their TVs or turned to something else other than Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because they are not on at the same time. Flash is the hour before. So it's mind-boggling. I mean, it's
now,
congrats.
You know what? Here in Mountain Time, or at least in the Denver area,
yeah,
they are on at the same time.
Oh, well, interesting. Okay, and yeah, now, so here I get my Flash at 8 o'clock on the East Coast, and then I get my S.H.I.E.L.D. from 9 to 10, or 9 to 11, as it is this week.
Yeah, no, I think ours are on at the same time, I'm pretty sure. Now Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was a two-hour event this week. It had two episodes back-to-back, so it was even a little different there. But Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. went down just a little bit, but the Flash had an excellent rating again, especially in that 18 to 49 demographic, which is always, you know, kind of what they're shooting for, though. So, and just a little side note, the show that comes on after Flash, iZombie, which is growing a pretty big following itself,
also a comic book related show.
Yeah, and it continues to increase in viewers too. So, CW is hitting the mark these days.
They just keep getting better and better here.
Absolutely, and you know what? People recognize it. Because up in Canada there, I think it's in Canada. It's to honor Canadian production. So I'm assuming that this is in Canada, but, they have something called the Leo Awards.
Oh yeah. Cause you know, they film all their shows up in Canada there in the Vancouver area.
Yeah, they do. Well, Vancouver offers some pretty good incentives, I think, for, Hollywood productions. So,
oh, and they
so
got
they
the best flapjacks.
I'm sure they do. You can send all those emails to Jay, by the way. anyway, they've been nominated for these Leo Awards in quite a few.
A lot. Look at all those.
Yes. Yeah. So let me just kind of run down some of them where they're getting some recognition.
We'll alternate here. How about that?
Oh, that sounds great. Okay. So Best Dramatic Series.
Okay. And then it lists Best Direction. There. Yeah, Best Direction for a Dramatic Series, specifically Glenn Winter for Going Rogue.
So that was just for one specific episode, but
yeah, The Flash as an overall dramatic series, but then they do individual episodes, I guess, for these other categories.
Oh, that's cool for good. Now that was a good episode too. So best cinematography in a dramatic series, and that came to C. Kim Miles in The Man in the Yellow Suit.
Best visual effects for a dramatic series for their visual effects team, also for Going Rogue.
Okay. Best production design in a dramatic series, Man in the Yellow Suit, Tyler Bishop Herron.
Best makeup in a dramatic series, Tina Tioli for Going Rogue.
It's all that Gorilla Grodd makeup, I think. Except he wasn't in that episode. But
yes. I was going to say, Going Rogue, that is not Grodd Lives, but okay.
No, it's not. And that wasn't makeup either, by the way. So, but hey, speaking of makeup, how about best hairstyling? Wow, they really are looking at details in these things, aren't they? I'm assuming they don't mean when Barry's wearing the mask.
Yeah, probably not. and best guest appearance by a female. This gets really specific. Best guest appearance by a female in a dramatic series, Emily Bett Rickards for Going Rogue.
Wow. Look at that. And that's crossing over CW shows there. Now, we're not going to go from here, but Arrow was also nominated for some of those too. And of course, Emily Bett Rickards is Felicity on Arrow as well.
Yep.
So, but all right. Well, congratulations to them, and we'll kind of see how they do. Let's see. No, I don't see when the Leo Awards are, but
yeah.
I'm sure a quick Google search will we'll answer that question for
Maybe we'll have some info by the time next season starts, and we can come back and talk about that. Or maybe during the summer at some point.
Yeah, we'll have to make a note of that. So, but there's more. But wait, there's more.
More.
All right, now we have talked briefly, you know, here and there about the spinoff series Legends of Tomorrow.
Yes.
And I think we've even...
DC's Legends of Tomorrow.
Oh, pardon me.
I know, but we don't call Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., so we can assume that. How about that?
We can just assume that? Okay, until Disney buys them out. Yeah. All right, so Legends of Tomorrow, and I think we speculated here, I think on this show, that they might show the preview video for Legends of Tomorrow, possibly during the finale.
Yeah, next week.
The Flash, which is next week.
Yep.
And they still might. They still might do that. I'm not entirely sure. But you can see the video online, and it's a doozy.
That's an understatement right there, folks.
Yes. And how long was that? It was about a 2.5 minute preview.
About 2.5 minute video, and it my gosh, they've been working hard on this. They've got a lot of footage, I'm assuming just from the pilot, but it didn't even need a pilot to get picked up. So it's, there's two videos. There's the 2.5 minute video, kind of a tease of the episode or of the series with footage of the series and footage of all the characters or most of the characters, introduction of who all the characters are. But then there's also like another minute and a half behind the scenes footage or featurette with Mark Guggenheim, who gives you a little more, description about it. We do know that it's coming at 2016. It will be a mid-season show. We're not exactly sure what that means because it's 13 episodes.
And yeah, that's a lot.
Even the mid-season show Agent Carter that ABC put on was only 8 episodes. So that would mean that if it's a mid-season show, that they're going to have to stop Arrow and The Flash, we're assuming, at some point, and then have 13 weeks off, which is a quarter of the year, and run Legends of Tomorrow. So... stay tuned. Hopefully we'll have a lot more information during the summer here and as the next season starts.
Yeah, for sure. And I am not going to actually spoil anything in this little video clip because it's that amazing. But it does feature the characters that we've talked about on this show and told you who was going to be in it. Go and watch it and check out what they did to them because it'll blow your mind. I'm excited.
I will just say that the villain that they talk about, but we don't see him, but the villain that they're going to go up against rhymes with Randall Babbage. If people are fans of DC Comics out there,
I thought it was Randall Babbage. Maybe I heard it wrong.
You did. Was hearing it wrong.
That might change the entire way I was thinking of the show.
I got Scrabble.
I'm Randall. All right. So I'm very excited about that. And like you said, it will be coming in 2016.
Yeah.
Along with another show that is coming up. I guess this one is not necessarily coming out in 2016. This will be later on this year, I believe. And not on the CW, but instead on CBS. And I'm talking about Supergirl.
Yes. Also by Greg Berlanti, produced by Greg Berlanti, one of the other shows that he's produced. So
we've talked about that here, and we've told you that that was coming. But we've got more news and information about it this week. So tell them what we saw this week.
Well, it was about a 6.5 minute teaser, I guess. They showed it was a bunch of scenes. I'm going to say maybe a dozen scenes and other little clips from the pilot, I'm guessing, from the pilot. Looks pretty good. It's I heard some criticism from it. Some people are like, oh, God, it looks like it's worse than Smallville, or it looks like the spoof that they did on Saturday Night Live with the Black Widow. But it's because, I mean, it kind of is. It's the superhero woman. Yeah, she's working at a fashion magazine or something like that. But I don't know if some people are looking for certain kinds of effects on TV, but I mean, it's got Supergirl in a costume flying around and, you know, kind of learning a little more about her powers. I mean, she's pretty young, and still, you know, trying to figure out where her place is in the world, but I'm really interested. It looks like an interesting show. It's not going to be much different from The Flash in terms of like tone, I don't think. If I had to pick a current superhero show to say that it would be similar to, I would say it would probably be similar to The Flash. Just looks like it's going to have a lot of humor, as well as, it's not dark like Arrow or anything like that. And definitely doesn't seem to take itself too seriously, maybe more like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. does. So I'm looking forward to this.
Just a brief statement of opinion from me on this show about Supergirl. Now, the main criticism I heard about this trailer is that people think that it's going to be, like you said, kind of like a romantic comedy kind of sitcom, or not sitcom, but television show, you know, where it put the young, attractive woman in kind of a stereotypical, ditzy, lovey kind of position, you know, and that's the character. And I can't honestly say that I disagree with the way that it looks. I think it does kind of look like that. But I don't necessarily think that that is a bad thing. Number one, you know, they are trying to appeal to a wide audience, I think. That's what makes money. And women are into the comic book genre now. We're in an era, you know, in our culture where women like that. And so I don't think that that's necessarily a bad thing to do. I think the biggest complaint is, hey, you know, make her tough. Make her, why do you have to make her, you know, look weak? Why do you have to make her look so feminine? Again, I don't disagree with that. If that's not what you want in a superhero show and you're a superhero, then this probably isn't your show. This probably isn't the show you want to watch.
And there are definitely a lot of different choices out there coming up in this next
yes,
season.
There are.
If that is not your superhero choice. So
yeah, but just as an opinion, I will tell you, I think that that is okay. And it's okay that you don't watch it. Just like, and I have admitted before, I'm not into the real dark, gritty, you know, violent comic book films. I really am not a fan of the Dark Knight movies, and I know that it is not popular opinion, but it's not something that I enjoy as much. It's a little bit too much for me. I like them as movies, and I can go watch them and I can enjoy them as movies, but to me they're not my comic book movies. I don't enjoy them as much. I like something more lighthearted, and that's just my taste. And it's okay either way. At least I feel it's okay. And this is kind of a final note for Supergirl. I watched this for the first time with my young daughters, who are, you know, they're young, they're preteens. So, so they're not the older ones, and they're certainly not adults. They squealed with delight.
Wow.
They were very excited.
It's
going to
be fun.
Series.
Yeah. It's going to be fun. Yeah. And even though it's on CBS, you know, Greg Berlanti, I don't know, there may be a way that we can get a crossover because it's a DC show. Let's keep our fingers crossed, because I know that the guys that are working on Arrow are trying to do a little cross promotion with a recently canceled NBC superhero show that was also a DC property, which we'll talk about on our Green Justice podcast this week. So,
so we'll see if there's crossover. Yeah.
But there are going to be crossovers between Flash and Arrow coming each winter. This was confirmed by the CW president, Mark Pedowitz. People had kind of assumed this, and we saw, I mean, shoot, we've had crossover. We'd have probably had way more crossovers than I ever anticipated this season because, you know, Barry showed up on Arrow this week Arrow showed up on Flash this week, and then Barry showed up on Arrow this week, and it almost a little bit of overload, but they will be doing a special two-part crossover like we had episodes 108 and 109 of Arrow last season, and then this season the Brave and the Bold and Arrow versus Flash episodes that were right before the winter break.
Right, and that doesn't even necessarily count when Felicity has been on Flash and
the Adams, you know, come
Ray
over
Palmer,
to Flash.
Yeah, yep. Absolutely. So they've had, like you said, a lot more crossovers than I thought they'd have one. Honestly, I thought they'd do like one a year.
And when they talk about the crossovers here that Mark Pedowitz is talking about, he is talking about more like the the two-part episodes where everybody comes over to one episode and then everybody goes over the other episode, or
sure,
close enough. So,
sure. Well, we got not quite that this week, but something pretty similar. So,
very close facsimile.
I am ready to discuss the goings on in this episode, which was only an hour, but it felt like almost two separate storyline episodes, you know. But they fit it all in an hour.
It did. I was really surprised because just based on the previews, you would have thought it was going to be more about Reverse Flash. But I would say probably 2/3 of the show was really about the Rogues and the transport of the prisoners and stuff like that. And we really, I mean, by the time we got to the fight at the end, I looked at my watch and there was only like 3 or 4 minutes left in the show. And I was like, whoa.
I was pretty sure they were going to end the show with Oliver and Ronnie coming to, and that was it. I thought that was going to be it. And they were going to just maybe start the fight and then, you know, next week or something. But yeah, no, they fit that whole thing in there. So, well, let's talk about that. First of all, let's start from the beginning, though, because for the first time, our intro was not Barry nor Iris, but instead Harrison Wells.
Yeah.
Okay, and I'm going to say Harrison Wells because it was his voice. Sure, it was Eobard Thawne as Harrison Wells, but it definitely was Harrison Wells' voice. So,
I come to think of him as Wells now.
Yeah, I do too. I do too, even though we know the truth behind all that, but... so a very, very creepy beginning, a very creepy intro. And he's talking about what would you do if everything was taken away from you? And if you could get it back, would you do it? Would you do anything you could to get it back?
You want me to read what he said here?
Sure. Yeah. Go ahead.
So he says, I want you to take a moment and think about all the things that define your life. All the people you love, your job, your coworkers, your home. And now imagine if one day, in a flash, all of that vanished. Would you simply accept your new life and continue on? Or would you do whatever it takes to get back what was taken from you? Because I can assure you, I will get everything that was taken from me.
And then we find out he's actually talking to Eddie.
I kind of guessed that, actually.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that. It didn't surprise me, but that is kind of the first time they've done an intro like that. I mean, there's never Barry's never been talking to someone that we've seen in a scene. So, but I like the way they did that transition.
And you're right; it was really creepy. And okay, go ahead.
First I want to kind of explore the validity of his claim. I mean, do you think he has a point? We don't know clearly what has happened, but he feels very justified that what he's doing is fair. I won't say right, because I don't think he thinks it's right. I think he's a bad guy. I mean, he's making choices that he knows are ethically wrong, I think, okay, even though he doesn't claim he's a bad guy. I don't know. Would you do... What answer his question? Would you do whatever it takes?
No, I don't think I would do that. And I also don't think that really, I don't think we know enough about what he feels is he's been wronged by the Flash. But I mean, I think this is really more a question for Barry. I mean, Barry had, you know, his parents, well, his mom taken away from him, his dad taken away from him in a different way. And, you know, it vanished, right? And so does he accept his life and continues on, or does he, you know, take some kind of revenge? And you know, it's at this point, it sounds like, you know, he's kind of taken the high road. But, you know, this is one of those things that we'll have to revisit after the finale, because it may change the way we look at,
right,
you know, what he said.
Now, he claims that it was taken from him, and he said in a flash, so we can assume that, of course, it was repossessed by, you know, the police. No, it was taken by Barry, of course, right?
Right.
You've got to wonder, though, of course, because he is the villain. Was it taken from him because of something he set in motion? And that's maybe... a big question when you're thinking about how, you know, how much justification he has for doing these things.
Yeah, is time travel involved? Because then who started what when? That's
right. Well, and of course, time travel's been a big conundrum to talk about all year because it gives us so many different possibilities. So now we find out that he's actually not in this episode very much, but he sets in motion a lot of the things that do happen in this episode. So we find out he's going to turn this particle accelerator back on. No big surprise, really.
Right.
But to what end? What is the purpose? What's his plan here?
I don't know. I was first thinking, well, he's just going to run around inside it to build up enough speed. because he mentioned something to Barry, like Barry doesn't know what's happening with the particle accelerator or whatever. And he says, well, why don't you, you know, come on down here or something like that and try it out or something along those lines. So I think it probably has to do with him wanting to get back to his time, but I
definitely think it has to do with getting back to his time, but I'm sure you see this too, but I see it all as a big setup. I think Barry is playing right into his hands, even up till the very end. But you know, if he has to turn the particle accelerator on for some reason with this power source that, like Sisko said, is clearly beyond him, he needs Barry for whatever his plan is. So I don't think he can just run around it himself. I think it's got to be Barry has to be involved somehow.
Do you think that's due to the other power source that we found out about that was in his wheelchair, because he doesn't have his wheelchair now, that he had to abandon that? He needs something else?
Actually, no, I don't. I think the power source in his wheelchair had something to do with him building up his speed again. And the power source for the particle accelerator is something separate. I don't think actually he needed this other power source, this tube, right, as Eddie calls it. I don't think he actually even needed that until he was ready for the particle accelerator to be turned on, or until he was ready for Barry to be ready. I think he's been powering Barry up, getting Barry faster so he can use him when it was time and then turn the particle accelerator back on and use Barry. I think the power source on his wheelchair, I think, was just him trying to get his speed back.
Okay, I'm dizzy now. That is just...
You've been running around.
This whole thing is really mind-boggling. I mean, just in terms of all the... You know, because that's the thing. We really don't know the end game that Thawne Wells is going for.
Yeah. I love how during that little intro, that little speech he's given Eddie, they show Sisko sitting in his wheelchair and thinking and then looking at it. And, you know, that's what he ends up. I love that Sisko really analyzes these things and tries to figure out why they're doing it. Barry really could not do any of this without his team. And Sisko is the key right now, I think, because he really has a way of thinking of things in a different way. Like when they went down into the particle accelerator. The pipeline, right?
Into the pipeline, right.
And they show him running back and grabbing his drink. Right?
And you're like, goofball.
I know. Really, I thought it was funny at first, but really it had a purpose. Yeah. He took it down there to as warning, which, you know, realistically did absolutely no good whatsoever.
Yeah, exactly.
Too fast for them to do anything about it, but that's okay.
At least they can kind of prep, you know, like clench. Okay, he's coming.
Yeah. Guys. Oh well. So we see that happen. We see him escape, and then he lets the prisoner loose to distract them, which works out great. Man, Peekaboo.
Yep. Oof,
way meaner than I remember her.
Yeah. Well, she's a little angry.
Being locked up in a closet will do that for you, I guess.
Yeah.
So we're put into this conundrum now. These prisoners that they've had locked up illegally, I guess we should add. They're in danger. They're going to die.
Oh, too bad. No, I mean, we've had this discussion before on the show where along with the one from last week, which was how do they feed these people, I think our second most discussed thing is, boy, they just kind of lock these guys up and then forget about them. I mean, isn't that problematic? And I know, it, like at the time, I felt it was kind of weird for us to be talking about that, just because it's like, all right, well, the show's not addressing that. It's obviously, it's okay, right? Because as long as stuff isn't addressed in the show, it's just stuff that we make up as fans in our heads, right?
Out of sight, out of mind, that kind of thing. It's
yeah, kind of. I mean, it's like, just to make a quick aside, I hear a lot of criticism about genre fiction from sci-fi or superhero stuff where people go, oh, man, that was so lame because they did X, Y, and Z, and I would have done A, B, and C. Well, you can't think that way when it comes to watching this kind of stuff. It's like if the Avengers choose to go to Segovia and fight Ultron, but you would much rather have had, you know, them join Black Panther in Wakanda and have the fight down there. It's like, well, okay, you weren't making the film. So you got to really just look at what's on the screen and criticize or enjoy, you know, enjoy and or criticize what is being presented to you. So that's really kind of what I mean. And you know, sure. Up until this week, they didn't really discuss this stuff. So I thought it was just, it's, you know, it's just not an issue that they discuss on the show, which is fine. But then,
oh sure, but
they bring.
But it. I like that they do bring it up because it's a very problematic issue because they do. It's a situation that they've never had to deal with. You know, I mean, if this were to happen in the real world, we don't have anything set up. We don't have anything designed to take care of this problem. This is a problem that's never existed before,
right?
And they don't know what to do.
And, you know, and they spend a lot of time talking about it. I mean, it's like, all right, we got to go talk to the DA. We got to get the cops to clear space for us. I mean, it's like there's a lot of logistics that they really worked on.
Yeah.
This.
And so they have to keep these metahumans locked up somewhere in a place that can lock them up. You know, what are you going to do? You got to hold them or they're going to destroy the city. They're going to kill people. The police can't do it, don't even realize what the deal is. So I think what this has done, I think this is kind of set up. This is one of the reasons I think they brought the DA into this episode too. Set up next season where something is going to be done, something is going to be set up, and I think the Flash will be a part of helping Central City do that. So they can catch these metahumans. Because, I mean, quite frankly, what are they going to do now? I mean, they can't keep them in the pipeline anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they have to build some kind of like Supermax, but that's kind of like Green Arrow's prison. I mean, in the comics, I think Iron Heights really is the place that they send people. Maybe they'll work on an extension to Iron Heights or something like that, or
I think that's probably what they'll do. They'll have something in Central City that will be able to house these. Every comic book that has a city, you know, that each superhero city has some kind of place for the mega bad guys, you know, Arkham or Ironhide. Yeah. So I think Central City will have something, but I do think that helps lend itself to a storyline that they can kind of focus on next year. What do you do with these? Because I thought it was odd that they brought in the DA for that scene with Joe. I thought it was odd how close they were because I didn't realize that they were that close.
Well, they had talked in, I don't know, 3 or 4 episodes ago, I thought. There was something with Sting. I can't remember which episode it was, but she was on one time before.
It's where they first kind of realized the Flash was there, like there were metahumans.
That's right. Yeah. but I thought it was cool just to kind of introduce the legality aspect into this and just remind, you know, it's like it's called human trafficking or illegal imprisonment or whatever. It's like, yeah, I mean, this is what Josh and I have been talking about.
Yeah. And I also thought it was interesting, as good of friends as those two seem to be, Joe and I wrote down her name. What was it? Cecile.
Like
yeah. How, as good of friends as they were, she did say, as the person that will probably be one day prosecuting you,
yeah.
I'm telling you to get away from this, you know? So I thought that was pretty cool. So anyway, so okay, that didn't work clearly. you know, the DA there. So, let's see. Where do you go? Where do you go now? Well,
obviously, Barry makes he didn't go directly to them because he tried a couple other.
Oh, he did. That's right.
Things. Because he talked, he tried to get in touch with Oliver.
He did. He texted Oliver, and Oliver, and, you know, sent him a message back. Not in right now.
Yeah, I'm in Nanda Parbat. I will call you soon.
yeah.
But he did get in touch with Argus, at least, I guess. Right.
Right. It had Lila. He called Lila, and he had met Lila when he was in Starling City in one episode of Arrow or something. So, but Argus was still going to help. Argus is sending the plane. They're going to take him to Lian Yu, but he still needs help in the city.
In the city. That's right. Okay, yeah. So it was a kind of a two-prong maneuver here, I guess.
Right. So the police can't help. The DA won't help. You go to somebody very smart or snart. Fair. I guess I can see how he came to this conclusion. He had to make an executive decision here. Barry did. And he thought of the second smartest person or clever person that he knows.
Yeah. I mean, and they had kind of established, sort of a truce the last time they met, mm-hmm. I would say, right? I mean, that's kind of what it seemed like. They, you know, it's like, all right, I'll let you continue to rob places as long as you don't kill anybody and, you know, you won't reveal my identity.
Yep. So. Yeah. And, well, you know, Barry thought he could trust that. He tried. I don't know. I still love Captain Cold, man. He is a very intriguing character. And, you know, I want to say all three of them. Cold, Heatwave, and also his sister, right? Golden Glider.
Yeah.
They really walk this balancing act between being very snarky and entertaining and over the top almost. But I think they do a good job of never quite going too far over the top at the way they act it.
I don't know. Wentworth Miller, he really does have it on a fine line, I think. I think less so for Dominic Purcell and for the actress that plays Lisa. But it's not helped completely with Wentworth Miller, because the writers, I think, have such a good time with him. And this may be, done a little tongue-in-cheek as well and a little nod and a wink to the fans. But, you know, it's like he wants a beer, so he orders it ice cold. And then they put on Cold as Ice by Foreigner on the jukebox. It's just I think those are funny, but then I also I am one of the people that actually laughs when every time Arnold Schwarzenegger does a cold pun in Batman and Robin. I think that's the best part of the film, unfortunately. But that's just me. I'm a pun kind of guy. So I like that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
but I can see how other people would, it could turn people off, I guess.
I do see how it could turn people off. And those are the people that like him realistic and gritty and stuff. And I agree. I think sometimes he probably does tip over a bit, and Lisa, especially, you know, when she's dealing with Cisco, she's kind of got that kind of breathy, like, oh, come on, nobody really talks like that kind of thing. But on the other hand, it's very arrogant, you know. I mean, they're very sure of themselves, and
that is a great word to describe them. They are extremely arrogant.
Frankly, they're not wrong. I mean, they are very good at what they do. And he does plan ahead, which I think is why Barry really went to him, is because he can see the foresight in Snart's, way of planning something. And unfortunately couldn't see quite as far ahead as Snart did. Okay. So here he is, you know, is he a man of honor? I mean, he's helping Barry. He doesn't kill Barry. He doesn't kill any of Barry's friends.
Nope.
But he says at the end, what's he say? You know, why? Why'd you do this?
I'm a criminal and a liar, and I hurt people. It's like, but earlier you just said you were a man of honor. It's like, yeah, but it's great because it's like, you know who I am. You don't think I'm going to live up to my potential kind of thing. I mean, I really got that whole, parable of the scorpion and the frog.
Absolutely.
Right, was that it? Where, you know, it's like he's the scorpion, and it's like, okay, you trusted me this far, and then I'm going to kill us both in the river. It's like, because I'm a scorpion. That's what I do.
Yep. It is. It's his nature. It's his nature to betray people. And
Yeah,
I mean, I think, you know, Barry, I don't want to call Barry a fool, because I really get where I understand how he came to that conclusion. But
he has some naivety about the way the world works.
Yeah, absolutely. There you go. And I think he learned a lesson. I don't think he will trust him again. Go ahead.
You just finish your thought.
Well, is probably one of the detriments to Snart's plan is that, you know, Barry probably won't put that kind of trust back in it again, which could come in handy. Although certainly did come in handy this time. He got something he wanted.
Well, Barry already put that to use because, you know, Wells had mentioned something to him, and he's like, you know, I just learned a tough lesson about not trusting the bad guy, mm-hmm. you know, which is like, well, good. I'm glad you're putting that, you know, you're applying what you've just learned. And yeah, we'll see how. Yeah, I think Snart definitely will use it against Barry in the future. Like, he will be able to play him again, maybe going the other way. Now, Snart mentions when they're at Star Labs that he won't reveal Barry's identity to his sister because he's a man of honor, right? That's the whole part. But when Barry comes to meet him at the bar, he's like, hey, Scarlet Speedster, right in front of the bartender. I mean, what? That was one of those things that kind of just popped me out of the scene for a second, because I'm like, he's totally outing him. Is this lady not paying attention?
Now, well, let me defend him for just a minute. And again, this is more of an apologist, I think. but number one, he said Scarlet Speedster, not Flash, you know, and that's not a common name that he is called, you know, in the public's eye. He's still not that well known in the public. I mean, they kind of know who he is now. But
okay, point.
And the other point is, she didn't look like she was quite all there, that bartender. So.
Okay, all right.
But that's yeah, right. And hey, plus he's a criminal. He's a liar. He hurts people.
Yeah.
Okay, so Snart asked him for something. He said, I'll help you. And here's what I want. Now, he didn't want the bartender to hear this, apparently, because he wrote it on a napkin or something.
Mm-hmm.
Gave it to Barry. Barry said, no, I can't do that. So just forget it. But they never show us what was on that note.
Yeah. I don't know that we'll ever know. But
why would they do that then?
For weird people who have podcasts about the Flash to discuss on their show.
to give us a topic. Well, thank you then. I appreciate that.
I have a idea, and I'd seen this in the notes, and I'm like, I have no idea, but you know, just kind of thinking about it. He talks the other thing that was brought up in this scene was how much I think it was before this, Barry was saying how much Barry loves the city and how much Snart loves the city, and that if these villains, you know, get out, they're going to destroy the city and you won't have anything to rob. So I think Snart was asking Flash to leave Central City. Like, you can go and be a superhero any place else you want to be, just not here.
Wow. Well, yeah, I mean, that would be huge.
And that would be something Barry would just be like, flat out, no, that's not going to happen, right? So it kind of fits. I don't know. Did you have any kind of speculation? I don't want to.
No, I didn't. I was drawing a blank on that one. I liked his other one so much that I'm like, well, geez, what did he ask for before then? So Barry erases every piece of information and evidence about Snart.
Idiot. Where do you get that algorithm too? I mean, it's like, what? All of a sudden you can just do, all right, whatever. I'll let it go.
He's got because, a friend named Felicity. That's,
yeah, hey, but he Iris, just went and did this.
Iris did stuff like that last week. So, you know, maybe it's just runs in the family. There's like night classes in Central City where people can take, you know, hacking computers.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. It was good. It was a fun little scene to see him trying to get all this stuff.
You don't think he'd keep a backup?
I don't know. I mean, I can't imagine that he got everything everywhere. I mean, he said he, you know, he says, I got it through the Argus FBI. I put a thing on the internet to erase that. It's like, but Captain Cold will do something again, right, at some point. And sure. then it's like, all right, his name's going to be, you know, I don't know.
The thing is, they can't hold him for any of that. They don't have any more evidence. So
right. They can only get him for what his next thing. I don't know. It's yeah. We'll see how that comes back.
Yes, we will.
Barry at some point, I guess.
I'm sure it will. All right. So let's talk a little bit about poor Eddie. I mean, yeah, he's been down there for 2 weeks. We need to talk to him about him before we get to the end of the show. He's not looking good. He's not sounding good. He's not feeling good.
No.
You know, he needs a shave and a big glass of water, maybe a nap. But man, he really bought in to what Wells showed him.
I don't know why you wouldn't, I guess. I mean, sure, you got this guy who claims he's from the future and he claims he's your relative and that you're nothing and you won't amount to anything. And, oh, by the way, the girl you're dating, yeah, you're never going to marry her. So just throw this away. That's all easily dismissed, except for the fact that this guy also has these super speed powers that you've seen, and that kind of makes you think that maybe the other stuff he's saying is true as well.
Yeah, I suppose. I think Eddie gave a pretty good explanation at the end, is that he's really kind of always known. He's always known how Iris has felt. He's always known how Barry, you know, acts around her. I think he gets the idea, and he really just came to a realization. Whether that was true or not, what Wells showed him, it's not going to work the way he wanted it to.
Right. I like that. And I also like the fact that Eddie, he doesn't really hold a grudge at this point, at least with Barry. You know, it's not like, well, fine, if I can't have her, then I'm going to be all mopey and I'm going to be mad at Barry and stuff like this. No, he still was there helping them. And, you know, didn't he show up? Was he at Star Labs at the end? I'm trying to remember now.
At the end? No, I don't think he was at the end.
There was another scene that Barry and he were in. I think maybe it was at the police station then.
Yeah, it could be. He did. I mean, I guess.
But they didn't do the kind of stereotypical thing that, you know, where he's jilted and so he's just going to be, just pissed at Barry now. So.
Yeah, that definitely would be stereotypical, but I can't honestly say that's not, you know, realistic. That's probably how I would be. I'm like, oh man, I just put a whole year of my life into this relationship and it turns out it was a waste of time. I think I'd be mad, but Eddie seems like a good guy. I think he continues to be a good guy, at least for now.
Nice guy, Eddie. Yeah.
Nice guy, Eddie. Well, okay. Well, here's the thing. You know, we're about 45 minutes into our podcast, and we still got to talk about this epic fight. But
this
that's about where they
the
were.
Real show, right?
Yeah,
just
that's about where they were. So let's squeeze this fight into the last part of our show.
Okay.
All right, man. yes, fantastic idea, fantastic fight. I thought it was successful, but I can see where there was some criticisms for this, the way they played it out, I guess.
Okay. So what were some of the criticisms that you had heard?
Well, one thing is that, man, they teased this thing at least this week and some more, really, with some photos and stuff online with Oliver and Ronnie coming back to help. They teased it all week like that's what the main premise of this episode was going to be, and it really was not.
Bait and switch.
Which I don't blame him, although I think – I'm guessing that next week in the finale, there's going to be much, much more, not necessarily with a team up, but, you know, with Reverse Flash. And I think there's mm-hmm. much more to come. So this to me seemed like just the first quarter of the game here.
okay.
But, you know, another thing, I thought it was a little short. I thought they could have made it go on a little longer. We know how powerful and strong and fast Reverse Flash is. So it could have gone on longer. But again, that's one thing you don't want it to go on too long, you know, otherwise it becomes Man of Steel.
yeah. I thought it was appropriately paced. Everybody got a chance to get their licks in. You know, Barry and Reverse Flash. Reverse Flash gets the upper hand, then Oliver gets in on it, and then Reverse Flash gets the upper hand, then Firestorm gets in on it. You know, so it was. Again, I'm not sitting there looking for anything specific, so I'm kind of enjoying what they're giving me, and even thinking back on it, I mean, I wouldn't say it was too short. It was really exciting, and it kept me enthralled. So
yeah, I don't know. I mean, I still think he got defeated pretty fast, but on the other hand, it did illustrate, and this is a positive on my checklist here. It showed, man, what a boss Oliver Queen is. I mean, holy cow! No powers. Oliver has no powers. He's not a metahuman. He's just awesome. He's just Green Arrow.
Yeah, I mean, but he had to use the nanites from Ray Palmer, and without that, you know, it's like, no.
Hey, nobody else could have got the nanites there, I don't think.
Shoot, I mean, he's already thinking, I mean, he's got Batman-level planning, right? He's already thinking ahead, okay, I'm going to need nanites, so I'm going to go help out, fight this super speedster that Barry just kind of called him. He's a non-departbat, and so it's like, hey, Roz, I got to go use the bathroom for a little bit. I'll be back. I'm trying to figure out where this scene occurs in Arrow from last week, because it has to occur before the end of their last episode, because the end of their last episode of Arrow, 322, episode 323, picks up immediately after. So at some point during the episode, and there is a part where he goes on a little walkabout to clear his head, but that looks like it's only for like a night. And but people travel from Nanda Parbat to Central City or Starling City back and forth really quickly. So
yeah,
I'm not sure exactly where it falls.
They're always flying to Nanda Parbat from Starling City, but maybe it's like right next to Central City. Maybe.
Of course.
I don't know. Central
City's on the Himalayan Kush. I don't know. Maybe.
I don't know. That did throw me a bit just because of the timeline of Arrow. Not that he was there. And if you don't even watch Arrow, then
it doesn't matter. But right now on Arrow, he is involved in some really serious stuff. And it's like, you can't be taking time off to go guest star on another show.
Well, this doesn't really answer the question of where it is on the timeline or anything, but he did need to ask for Barry's help.
Which I put a quote on our
episode.
Yeah, I put a quote on our Facebook page. It was one extra line on the quote that I invented myself, but basically Oliver says, I may need your help at some point. And Barry says, wherever, whenever. And then I decided that Oliver's actual next line was, cool, I'll see you tomorrow night then. Which is the night for Arrow, because that's exactly what happened.
It is. Well, I don't know. I don't know where it landed. That would be one thing that kind of threw me off. Otherwise, yeah. It was fantastic. It was a great choreography, great fight. I'm still not quite 100% convinced with some of the graphics on Firestorm when he lands.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, I still really am digging the Firestorm.
They're working it out. I mean, stuff's gotten better on the way Flash runs. The fight where they're like zipping around and then all of a sudden it cuts into super slow mo, so you can see them almost in like this. They're in slow mo, so you're going really, really, really slow. And I like how they do it, kind of like, you know, like a comic panel of the two of them fighting, and then it zips and speeds around again, and then it slows them down as they're running up the wall or whatever. That was cool.
I mentioned to my family as we were watching that's my favorite special effects as he's running. I love seeing that.
Where they freeze it.
Yeah.
Down
yeah,
it, really slow.
Real
yeah.
dramatic. And like you said, comic booky. So do you think this, it's really over? I mean, did they really defeat Reverse Flash, or was this part of his plan,
of his plan? Maybe. I don't know. I don't know that he could have expected. Well, I don't know. It's like he's from the future. I don't know how he would look ahead or whatever. But I think, you know, I think Oliver got him with some kind of tranquilizer. I know that question got raised a couple times in conversations I was having. Like, what did he shoot him with? It's like, well, it's probably one of his tranquilizer arrows. But, yeah, I think they got him. You know, I think Barry says at the end, we got you. So, I mean, that's...
Yeah, I know. But right, they also
that's it.
Are probably going to put him down in the pipeline. So that's one of the places it
right.
seems like he wants to be. So we'll,
yeah.
we'll see.
Ooh, I didn't even think about that. Yeah, you're right.
I want to just mention real quick because I apologize, I can't remember who said this, but one of our listeners was mentioning about some of the awesome sounds that they use for Reverse Flash when he's running, and that sort of helicoptery sound effect as he's running. And I've been looking for it now, right, in every episode, and I really notice it when I hear it. But they played that sort of sound, it's kind of embedded in the music right before Wells appeared back at Star Labs at the end. I thought that was kind of cool. And like I said, I've been watching for it ever since they pointed that out to us a few weeks ago.
Yeah,
we got a little bit of,
hang on. That was, Tacit Ronan. I'm going to say,
all right.
Sent an email in about that, about the sound designers and the sound effects.
Well, thank you. Thank you for finding that name. And thanks for letting us, know, because, you are making me think about this as I watch it. So that's cool. But we did get a little bit more feedback this week, too. Some on Twitter here from Tim. He says, he says that Eobard takes Eddie hostage as insurance because he wants to protect him from harm because Eddie could be used to change the timeline.
Yeah, this was in response to some questions we were having, or at least I was having about, like, what does the insurance thing mean?
Right, right.
Asked back to him, like, well, what kind of things could he do to change the timeline, or what could be done to Eddie to change the timeline or something like that.
Right. And Tim says, hey, you know, Barry and his crew could do any number of things to change the timeline, like a vasectomy, for instance.
Boy, that's probably worse than putting people in a little 6x6 foot cell. I mean, that's pretty invasive.
You think they would tell Eddie, you know, that they would do that, or you think he would just like do a like a super fast kind of
super fast
procedure?
Punch, just a
like just kind of a you know, Eddie's
what?
Standing there for a second, all of a sudden like ow. What happened? How sad.
I need to go sit down.
So I still don't know about Eobard using Eddie as insurance. I still want to know that. There was a time in this episode that I did think he had replaced Eddie. When he ran out of that pipeline and then lost Barry.
Oh, yeah.
I thought maybe he rushed back there, and when they went down and found Eddie, I thought maybe that was him.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I don't think so either. But there was a minute that I thought that maybe that was going to be the case, but
I don't think
so yet.
Okay.
I still think he might do that, though. Also, we got an email from Tyler. He says, hey, guys, I was hoping you could discuss Oliver on The Flash. I think we did that. I'm sure you will, but just wanted to know that what you guys thought about the timeline. Is Oliver allowed to leave whenever he wants? If so, he could just have told Team Arrow his plan. Not sure if I'm missing something. And he's talking about on Arrow. He did not tell the member of his team what he was doing in that show. So check that out if you haven't. Apart from that, Green Arrow versus Reverse Flash, how cool was that? It was extraordinarily cool.
I used to be an evil time-traveling speedster, but then I took an arrow to the knee.
I love that we can use arrow to the knee often on this show.
Yeah.
I'll let you go. Can't wait to hear what you have to say. So thank you, Tyler. Oh, and he does put a little PS here. Star Lab security still sucks.
Yeah, because I keep tweeting when I'm live tweeting the shows. If you guys see anyone live tweeting the show, it's most likely me, just because of the I live the Eastern Coast.
Yeah, because you like to spoil it for me because you see it 2 hours before me.
I do. I like doing that. But yeah, I'll often be tweeting about, oh my gosh, Star Lab security sucks, and he'll pipe right back up on Twitter and go, yep, or favorite it or whatever, and it's like. In this episode, let's see, Peekaboo got out, but we knew she was released. But then Iris got in, but that was good because she saved Caitlin. But then Snart just walks in, and then we saw how easy it was for Wells just to kind of walk in. You know, the chain link fence isn't really even attached. But there's still this fence around Star Labs. So it's like a construction zone. It's horrible.
Well, really we know bad. They lost a lot of their staff, but I still like to think that there's just some little old lady sitting up front at the registration desk or something, and she just lets anybody through.
Go on back.
Oh, you're okay. All right. It's Janine from Ghostbusters. All right, well, let's go over a few of the references from this week. There were a few. We mentioned a couple of them, but let's see. Rogue Air. Where do they get that?
Well, that is obviously a title reference to Con Air, the Nicolas Cage vehicle about a bunch of prisoners being transported by a plane from one prison to another, and Cyrus the virus getting out and... Nick Cage as a prisoner having to keep everybody safe, his family yes. safe.
Academy Award winning performances, or Leo Award winning performances. No, I don't think it. I don't actually think it won any awards, but yeah. It was
maybe
a fun watch back in the night. It was a fun watch back in the 90s, but
yeah.
Okay, so I did think it was interesting when Wells was actually had the upper hand on Oliver. He mentioned that Oliver's going to live to be 86 years old.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. Well, that really helps out is Oliver going to die at the end of Arrow season 3? So.
Oh, okay. I guess not then.
Huh? Spoiler, by the way.
He'll die at the end of season 66, somewhere around there?
Yeah.
56, maybe?
Something like that. I saw a great reference online. It was a comment on a thread, and it said, if he lives to be 86 years old, does he have one arm, and is he screaming about fascists?
Yes.
Which is a nice reference to The Dark Knight. If you guys haven't seen Oliver Queen in The Dark Knight, you should check that out at some point.
You should.
Very cool.
That's awesome, and I'm going to definitely say yes.
The Dark Knight Returns, the comic book, not the movie.
Right. All right. So this was very interesting. When they got to Ferris Air, mm-hmm. which we've heard about Ferris Air before, but they gave us a little bit more information, which is in reference to the comics.
Yeah. Yeah, this was cool. They said it's closed down now. This was the same place that they were running in the pilot where they were testing out his speed. And they said Ferris Air has been shut down ever since one of their test pilots disappeared. Well, of course, the most famous test pilot for Ferris Air was Hal Jordan, a.k.a. Green Lantern. So that's a pretty big tease. And it might be interesting to think that with all the superheroes they keep putting on this show, they have pretty much put every superhero on from the JLA, Justice League of America era when they were on the satellite, except for the Trinity, which is Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman. Those guys are going to be off limits. But I think the only other characters that Arrow and Flash haven't had on yet were Green Lantern, Zatanna, and Red Tornado. So,
and we're only in season one.
And we're only in season one of Flash. Yeah. So,
very interesting reference to that one.
I'm hopeful that they will do something with that. And considering I think it was Andrew Kreisberg was one of the co-writers and producers for the Green Lantern movie. So they have an affinity for that. Yeah.
We can talk about sometime. I did not dislike that movie as much as some people.
I did not either.
Probably no surprise to the people that listen to me, but
yeah.
All right. So, you mentioned earlier that when they were in the Saints and Sinners bar, which should have been a clue for Captain Cold, by the way, Barry, come on.
Yeah.
That they're playing Cold as Ice on the jukebox, which
nice.
I recognized as soon as it came on. I'm like, oh, I got to write that down. and now what is this one? I did not notice this one, the address.
So at the beginning, Iris is like all depressed Barry's like, what's going on? She's like, I ordered 200 of these labels and 2,000 showed up. So they got these address labels. Well, the address on the labels is 203-2320 Western Avenue, Central City, USA. No state, 74912. And I just wanted to point out that that's not really a valid address. That zip code does not exist in any fashion. So, no, sorry.
I guess my
return to sender.
My sympathy card to Iris is getting put in the lost letters file there at the post office. But
we should see what happens if we try to send one of those. It probably will just be returned as undeliverable.
Yeah, it's worth a try. I looked at those address labels. I didn't even think about checking out the address. That's awesome. Thank you for doing that.
Sure. That's what I do. I'm sorry.
It is what you do. All right. Well, that's some good tech in this, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Good tech that you can't buy at Radio Shack. Thanks, Joe. Well, unfortunately, I don't think you can buy anything at Radio Shack anymore. I'm pretty sure they're out of business now.
What? Oh.
Yeah. Just like Sky Mall.
That, yeah, yeah. Sky Mall was on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. A couple weeks ago. So
that was good.
So I know Radio Shack is struggling. They've closed most of their stores. I do still have a Radio Shack up the street.
I haven't even checked to see if the one by me is still open because I do go in there to get electronic supplies every now and again.
Yeah.
So.
I just got a cable for my iPad a month ago. So still hanging on, just barely hanging on.
Got it.
But they did not have a power source for my wheelchair, though, unfortunately.
And then we had a mention of course, Lila, Diggle, Oliver showed up, Ray was mentioned. So a lot of name checks from the Arrow series.
Which it seems like they're going to do quite often.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot more of that. And especially, I don't know how we're going to catalog stuff when it comes to Legends of Tomorrow. That's going to be crazy.
I don't know, man. I don't know. But we'll figure it out. So, all right. Well, that was a lot of stuff to fit in one. And we still have one season finale. I don't know how we're going to fit all that in. We'll have to find out. But for now, you and I definitely have to run until next week.
I'm looking forward to that season finale and just how big is it going to be. My expectations are very high. They've got a lot. They got big shoes to fill here. So, but if you guys enjoyed this episode, please be sure to leave feedback for us on iTunes. You can also contact us at in email at scarletvelocity@randomchatter.com or on Twitter. You can follow us at Scarlet Velocity. See live tweets that I do if you're on the East Coast, or just go look at them later if you're in another time zone, or check out our Facebook page and like us over there at facebook.com/Scarlet Velocity Podcast.
And you can also check out our other shows that we do, Green Justice, an Arrow podcast that ties in a lot to Flash. So I recommend checking out that show and that podcast. Also, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files, where we talk about Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on ABC. You can find both of those at randomchatter.com. And also, all of our shows are available in the iTunes Store and through Stitcher for Android or iOS. And of course, if you enjoyed this podcast, we would love for you to start sharing it with your friends and anybody you know that's interested in these shows, because we love talking about it. For now, remember, life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it. This podcast is not endorsed by Warner Brothers Television or DC Entertainment. The official website for The Flash can be found at www.cwtv.com. The Flash and related elements are copyright DC Entertainment and Warner Brothers Television.